Matthew 13, and we are looking at these red letter stories. And by red letter stories, we're talking about the words of Jesus. And this parable that we're going to read is probably, I would say, a top three famous parable that we've all probably heard in some way before. But remember, the Bible is selective as to what is in it. And if there's a certain parable that's in Matthew, the same parable is in Mark, and the same parable is in Luke, I think God is trying to tell us something. And so this is one of the few that this parable is in all three Gospels. And if it's in all three Gospels, obviously, the Gospels being the four books about the life of Jesus, that this is an important lesson for us. So we're going to read, we're actually going to start and read the first nine verses, and then we're going to stop, talk about that for a little bit, and then we'll finish up. I'm going to read you the parable, and then we'll stop for a little bit, and then I'm going to read you Jesus' interpretation of the parable after a little bit. So this is Matthew 13, 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown." And then famously he says, "Whoever has ears, let him hear." Jesus, through a number of these, they're called kingdom parables, is trying to answer the question of what does the kingdom of God mean? And for some of us, I think when we hear Jesus say, "I've come to bring you the kingdom of God, I'm going to explain it in parables," some of us think this: it's all about forgiveness of sins. And while, of course, forgiveness of sins is a massive gift, and if that was all we received, that would be amazing. It's not. He came to kind of tell us that the forgiveness is just the beginning. It's the foundation. But here's what I want. I want all kinds of brokenness to be healed. So if you feel forgiven, that's great, but then you have still brokenness in your life, he came to heal that as well. And he wants the kingdom of God to come and really begin to invade your life and change your life. When we think about the kingdom of God, some of us ask, okay, so Frank, what does it mean to enter into the kingdom of God? I mean, what does that mean? How does power come in? I mean, what does this look like? How do we come into that power? And I just want to say very plainly here, the kingdom of God comes by what? It comes by hearing. Very plainly and simply, the kingdom of God comes by hearing. And if you think about a kingdom coming, note, this is a bit unusual. I mean, how would kingdoms normally come? How would an earthly kingdom come? If an earthly kingdom came, they come by coercion. An earthly kingdom would come by force. That's how many kingdoms have come in. And here's what Jesus is saying. He's like, no, so this is a different kingdom. Here's how it comes. You need to listen. And you need to listen well, and you need to listen deep. Listening is what? It's a fundamental skill to understanding the kingdom of God. And in fact, he says, without listening, without hearing, you cannot enter it. The power of the kingdom can't come into your life without this. But right now, you know, when you think about earthly kingdoms and earthly kings, what do they want? I mean, right now you have all, you know, we have these elections going on and you see these debates and it's like, you know, a leader or someone who's coming in, they feel like they need to get a hearing. They're the ones who want to have people hearing them. And what can a good leader do? Well, take their hearing and convince a bunch of listeners to their point. That's the way that they would be convinced. But Jesus says, let me tell you the secret to this kingdom of God. The secret is the seed. The seed. That is the secret. And what is the seed? The seed is what? It's the teaching. It's the word of the kingdom. It's the Christian message. That's the seed, and that's the secret, and that's what we're called to hear. And it does not move forward on coercion and force. I mean, if you were a part of Alexander the Great and him coming and taking a kingdom and taking a land, there were two kinds of people left in a town that Alexander came into to take. And it was people that pledged allegiance to Alexander the Great and people that were dead. Those were the two. That's it. Yeah, just two categories. That was it. And, you know, if you think about it, the kingdom of God is different because Jesus is saying it's like a seed and it's not a boulder. It's a seed. And what he's saying is this is more powerful. And I know a boulder would come and smash the ground, right? It would. It would smash the ground externally. And I realize that a seed, when a seed is tossed, it's quiet, right? You know, when a seed comes, what does it do to the ground? It revolutionizes ground. How? Internally. That's how seed works. What does a boulder do? A boulder comes and he does it suddenly and he does it externally. And the boulder just breaks the land, but here's what happened. The seed transforms the soil into a what? Into ultimately a garden. And then ultimately into a forest. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. He wants you to enter into the kingdom of God through what? Through hearing. Through listening well, through being able to understand the gospel. Because once you are changed, all you can do, once the seed of the gospel gets inside of you internally, you cannot help but function according to that seed. It's like having kids. Once you have kids, you are now just in love with them. It does something to you internally, right? It changes you. You ever see that movie Taken? It's with Liam Neeson, right? And he's he's got this daughter who's been kidnapped, and she's, you know, and he's got to find her. And, you know, he gets on the phone and he says, "I have a certain set of skills and other things, and I'm going to kill you." And it's a very, very powerful, very, very powerful, like 25 seconds. And you think about that, and you watch the rest of the movie, and you think, this guy internally has been changed and will stop at nothing to what? To find his daughter. Why? Because the seed of love, the Father's love inside of him, just compels him to what? Find his daughter. I don't care. I don't care if I lose my life. I will find my daughter. And Jesus is saying, look, that's what happens when you understand and you listen to the hearing of God's word. Because what can happen is even those of us that I would say are very, very solid in our faith, you know, think about John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he lived this life, but even during his ministry, he looked at Jesus and he said this, "Are you really the Messiah?" This is John the Baptist. This is the forerunner to Jesus. You don't think John the Baptist would answer or ask these types of questions. Wait, are you really the one, Jesus, who's bringing in the kingdom? Please, because it looks funky, and I'm arrested. And you know what they're telling me? I'm going to get my head chopped off. That's what they're telling me, Jesus. Why, all of a sudden, was John the Baptist full of doubt? Was it a failure of nerve? Was it being in prison? No. You know what it's a failure of? Why did he ask it? It was a failure of theology. It was an inability to understand, right? What does it mean to be a part of this kingdom? Because some of us ask this question, why in the world is my marriage hurting then? I've accepted Christ, right? Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and might have it abundantly." Why am I getting sick? Why am I getting cancer? Why is there evil going? Why is there evil around? And you know, being a part of the communicants class, 5th through 7th graders, the past 6 weeks, it's been awesome. Because all we want to hear from them in their membership interview is that they believe that the seed of the gospel has taken root in their heart. And no longer is this a religion for them, but it's a relationship. And we had 10 of them this week. and to see a 10 or a 11 or a 12-year-old boy or girl claim, say, you know what, no, it's been done to me. Like, this has changed me. But Frank, Pastor Frank, I still have these questions. I still have these questions. Why are my parents getting divorced? Why is this happening? I don't get it. I don't understand. If the kingdom of God is here, and Jesus answers us, answers John the Baptist, look, my kingdom does not work like an earthly kingdom. You think it's going to come through this coercion and force, and it's just going to be an obliteration of good over evil? No, that's not the way it works. Remember how Jesus describes the kingdom? It's like yeast and bread, right? It goes and it works its way in, and at first, what is it going to look like? It's going to look vulnerable. It's going to look like a baby in Bethlehem. It's going to look weak, and you're going to be underwhelmed because it's going to start as what? A crazy, weird message with a bunch of Jesus freaks that happened in the first century. But I tell you what, it's going to change, and people are going to laugh. Even though people will scorn it and laugh at it, and they'll reject it left and right, it will still be there, and it will work. And what is that message? I mean, what's the message? The message is that a king came from heaven, and he triumphed by being tortured and killed. Because he was tortured and killed and died for your sins, you can come into life. It means that now his followers can what? Can lose themselves to find themselves. That's what it means. That's weird. His followers now know what? The way up is the way down. That to be rich is to what? To give away your money. To what? To really have power is to ultimately serve. It's weird. This kingdom of heaven and the way it comes down is not like earthly kingdoms. It's not like top-down force. But Jesus says, don't you understand? My kingdom is going to triumph, but it's not going to triumph through force. It's going to triumph through love. That's the way it's going to come. And so it's like seed. And this seed, what does it have to do? It has to get down into the soil of you. And Jesus is saying there's four different kinds of soil, right? And when the gospel goes, you need to see you as one of these four different types of soil. And here's what we need to do this morning, is you have to ask yourself the question, which soil am I? We got four soils we're going to talk through, four of them. Which one are you? If this is three different times, right, three different times in the gospel, this parable is given, why would he have that? Why would he have that? I think he tells us time and time again, he just wants you to know that his kingdom is different, and you know what's easy to do? It's so easy to miss it. It is just so easy for you to miss the kingdom of God, to get, you know, trapped in all of your life, all the busyness of all of our lives, and for you to miss, hey, look, I want the kingdom of light to come into your life and destroy the kingdom of darkness. But here's what we have to do. We have to decide where you are. Because here's what Jesus is always asking. Have you really listened, Westtown? No, I mean, for real. Have you really heard? Have you really, really heard? And Jesus puts off people, in fact. He even says, no, I don't think you have. In fact, you know what? You need to go back. Before you walk the aisle at a Billy Graham crusade, before you get all jacked up at a big tent revival, right? Here's what you need to do. Count the costs. Please legitimately count the costs. That's what he wants. And so he walks in, and we're about ready to hear his interpretation. And so this is going on from verse 9. The disciples came to him and ask, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. What is Jesus trying to get at? And so here he comes, and he says, okay, now I'm going to unpack this for you. I'm going to unpack what the parable means. Listen then to what the parable of the soil means. First soil. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. And what does that mean? It means that, hey, you know what? There are plenty of people that have walked through the doors, maybe are still sitting here, that have listened to Jesus, the story of Jesus. You've come into church, you've heard the gospel, and you've only used your head. You've never once used your heart. And so cognitively, intellectually, you can ascend to what this data means. But you know what happens? Is when the seed of the gospel that's supposed to what? What does the seed of the gospel have to do? It has to crack the path. It has to crack the sidewalk that is your heart. Because only when it gets in and internally and in the soil of your heart will it make a difference. And some of us, we hear it, but you've intellectualized it. You've just made it about your head. And that is the first test I think Jesus wants us to ask. That you could come to church, you could hear a creed, you could read all kinds of Christian books, but it's never made a personal penetration into your heart. And that's the only thing we ask these 10 kids this week. Has it gone into your heart? I know you could do the bridge diagram, and then Jesus is the cross, and God's over here, and there's this big chasm, and we write the cross, and you just have to believe. I know that. I can write that up on a whiteboard. No. I'm glad you can. That's good. I'm glad you could describe it. But has that penetrated? So I ask you, has there ever been a time where the Word of God suddenly, excitingly dawned on you, and you begin to see some stuff about yourself you've never seen before? Has that happened to you? Because you have to ask yourself, go back, have you ever come under the personal power of what? The truth. The truth, because it comes, the kingdom of God comes by listening. Weird. Not coercion and force, by hearing and allowing the seed, right, to what? Penetrate the soil. And for this one, right, they're hard, right? And you've never been thrilled or amazed by the gospel. It's always been something you did just because your parents did it, so you're taking your kids to church. And that's all it's ever been. It's just been a set of data points. And that's the first soil. That's what Jesus is saying. It's never penetrated you. I mean, you could say it all you want, but hey, have you ever come under the personal power of what? Of the truth. Second soil. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, what? They quickly fall away. These are the people that you hear and they start talking about God and they say things like, Christ has changed my life, Frank. He has. He's changed my life, and they're always excited, and they do feel like their eyes have been opened, and there's no doubt, and there's true emotion to what they're saying, and you're like, wow, they really got touched or something. But here's the scary part of this. These people are equated to people with shallow ground, where what? Where there are not enough roots to what? Take the heat. They can't take it. And so the question is, you have to ask about your heart. Are you listening to God with a shallow heart? There's some people in here that you've got this hard heart, right? It's not going to penetrate you, right? But then there's other people of you in here that you have a shallow heart. And you want what? Of course, you're willing that God would come in and change your life, right? The problem is that, yes, you've had some suffering subside because of Jesus, you feel, but as soon as the next thing comes, you're like, wait a second. Here's what I invited Christ to. I invited Christ to my kingdom. And he's welcome to my kingdom. But as soon as that plan that you have doesn't fit for what Jesus has for you, no. You're done. As soon as the test comes, as soon as the next, what, alluring thing comes, hey. And so some people would say, you know, I wanted a blesser, not a savior. Some people want a sugar daddy. Not a king, right? Some people want help and relief. They don't want salvation. Some people want what? They want Jesus to be their service provider. But as soon as he stops being that, you know what? You're out. Maybe that's you. Because the things that we really worship were the things that what? That they lost, or that you lost when the heat came. As soon as you realize that, no, I'm out. And this is why you have to be careful with revivals. This is why even when our students go off to camp, and it can be very emotional, we have to be careful. Because what we don't want is we don't want church to be a pep rally. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being excited, but if all this is getting people hooped up and coming with a very powerful, persuasive, emotional, you know, moment or whatever, and people feel moved, that's fine. But here's what we really want. We want to make sure that this thing is real. That has gone deep into you. And so, sure, the seed, it gets into your heart, but there are no roots, right? And maybe that's you. You've decided, no. I do have a shallow heart because I thought it was something it wasn't, and I accepted it, and I've experienced some level of the joy of God, but you know what? I'm not going to go there. I love the Word of God, but I won't be convicted of sin. I mean, I'll read the Word of God, but if the Word of God says something that I can't do sexually or something that I can't do financially or says something that I can't do that, nope, I don't do that. I don't do conviction of sin. And the Bible reads you, right? The Holy Spirit in His Word reads you and says, sorry, you're the second soil. You have a shallow heart. That's an honest diagnosis. And maybe some of us in here struggle with that, that it's only emotion. And you thought Jesus was going to meet a bunch of your needs, but you didn't really understand the message of the kingdom. So, are you listening to God with a shallow, only emotional heart? Third one is this. Third, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Now, before we go into the, I just want to read the last verse. Let's go one more slide. This is the last seed. The seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Now go back to 22. Now think, here's what's hard about this third group. It's easy to tell that the first two groups are not Christians. We know that. We know the first two do not believe because this person hasn't professed faith with their heart. And this person, right, once the thing came, once life came, they, you know, they're peace out. They're done. And this is a hard one because if you really, they receive the word. The one who received the seed that fell is the man who hears the word. And there is some growth. But this last one, it's hard to tell. It's because these people have some root, and they stick around. But you know what? The seed fell amongst thorns, and thorns are springing up. And you know what? They don't fall away, and they don't run away. These are the people that don't run away, but what? They don't grow either. These are people that have grown, and now, you know what? They are stuck, and maybe that is you. Yes, you feel like you have some roots, and you're not denying Christ. You will, but you know what? You haven't grown in so long. And you know what Christ does? He shares control with things in your life. Yeah, you've given Christ some control, and you're consistent about that, but you know what? Your life is what? Your life is choked. And you don't see things changing. You don't see the healing going on. You don't see the power coursing through your life. And this is why you're always asking yourself, am I really a Christian? Am I really a believer? I am so anxious. And just like in this parable, you know what? You can't tell. You can't tell. And that's what's hard about this third. Some of you are committed, but some of you aren't. And so this third example is a group that it's hard to really, you've stopped for a while and you're not exactly sure what it takes. And it's about this, it's about being choked, and it's about what is it? What is it? It could be a certain pill or a certain vice that you have or a certain relationship that you won't let go of. It's something that is choking you right now. And you're not denying Christ, but let me tell you what, you are not growing. Maybe it's a job or you have to decide what that is. But Jesus is asking you, you know what? I can't have, I know that there are hard hearts and there are shallow hearts, but some of us in this room, we have to ask ourselves the question. Let's go to the next slide. Do you have a divided heart? That's what the third soil is about. Do you have a divided heart? And so as Christ is looking at this, as Christ is looking at your heart, where do you fall? Because the fourth soil is what we want. It's this good soil. It's this not perfect soil, but you know that the gospel has taken you, right? And it's taken you to places, and you're seeing the gospel play itself out in the lives of your kids, in the lives of your friends, in the lives of, you know, your spouse, your other immediate family members, that you see it in the way that you work. You begin to see, man, I'm just giving this to the Lord, right? It doesn't matter. I'm just giving my life. I'm giving my life away. I've told you about my kid who's in my youth group, Addison, who escaped the coronavirus. He was in China, but now he's actually back in the States, and he's been back now for a month before it spread. And he's just telling stories about, you know, these lives in China, and he speaks perfect Chinese, Mandarin Chinese. Can't believe him, you know. And you're seeing this fruit. You're seeing this harvest 30, 60, 100 times. And you don't see a divided heart, and you see a deep heart. And he's not perfect. And he's not married, and he talks about, you know, there's, you know, some desire there. But hey, I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm a single dude that left Orlando, Florida, and went over to China to preach the gospel. And he's not perfect, but let me tell you, I believe that it's a picture of this fourth soil. And so, what is this about? This is about the kingdom of God being a seed. And are you a listener? And what type of listening ears do you have? What is the soil of your heart? So of those four, where are you? Let the Bible read you. If we're here and we've been going through these stories, we believe you're here for a reason. We're here to be changed. And we all need to be changed and continually transformed. So why would he have you here? What could be different this week because of what we've walked through this morning? Let me pray and let me ask God to be with us.